Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in. It's hour number 4 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Cowboy stuff coming up at 5:20. We'll hit the expressway, taking commercial free to the top. Of course, LA Live, 5:40. Right now, it's an edition of the finest. Here's the Chief.
We'll get to some draft traps to avoid for all 32 here in just a moment. But
kind of felt like I fell into a bunch of them in the early 2000s, this football team.
Yeah. My gosh, that it was just booby trap after another. Just,
you know what?
Hiding it, in plain sight.
I'd give anything to go back and not just go back and have a little bit different path. I mean, I was working at pro personnel and we're working with college and just knowing better, and I think that if Jerry and Steven could go back and the things that they know working with Will in those early 2000s, they might have, maybe this team could have found a way to maintain a little bit of that Super Bowl run that they were, that they were having there. But that was just a lot of bad drafting there. A lot of bad drafting. Yeah.
That's not what you want.
Not at all.
If you could take Will McClay back to about, 98? Drop him in right there and going.
We could have used Will's organizational skills. Yeah. Now, I mean, Larry Lacewell was Jerry's best friend, and Lace did a fine job. I owe him everything for him bringing me to Dallas, but there was things that we could have done differently. Of course we could have, setting up the boards and maybe the discussions that we could have had about the type of player that we were looking for, I think Will could have done a really good job of getting everybody on the same page.
But I mean, you were in a period post salary cap implementation. It was kind of like the Wild West and the rules were being determined. There wasn't like a set of things that you could have in mind, and then you have Jerry at the helm, wildcatting on top
of that.
See,
this is what, if I had the opportunity today to be at that press conference, I would have liked to have asked Jerry this question. Do you regret implementing the salary cap? Because to me, and he later on said, it makes the football so competitive. It makes the game what it is today.
Yeah.
But if anybody could have benefited with a non-salary cap, probably Jerry Jones.
It hurt Cowboys fans more than any team in any sport.
Yeah, he's helped make the NFL what it is today.
Yeah.
But in reality, that salary cap, as much money as they generate, not having a salary cap, he could have gone on a Yankees kind of run.
Both Jerry and Steven have talked about how they're number one in business. When you bring up that they haven't been awesome on the field, they talk about how proud they are for making the most money or being worth the most money or whatever it might be. I think if Jerry had the truth serum in him or a lie detector test, he loves the salary cap. Everything's going perfectly for him. He wanted all 32 teams to be capable of saving the weekend with great ratings.
You're right about it. That's why I think he explained that.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's the one thing right now that they were today talking about that they're struggling with. And I don't mean struggling with it that they don't understand it or you know, Jerry says, I know where the cap is going to be in 3 years.
Well, it's funny because I believe he said something about not knowing about what cap situation they were in at the Senior Bowl when he talked about all in. Today, that was something that came out of his mouth. Like, sorry, at the Senior Bowl, I wasn't fully familiar with my salary cap as the general manager and owner of the football team.
Okay, then he also said, though, too, and it's a fair point. He also said, though, he has an idea where he thinks it's going to be 3 to 5 years from now. So, to me, does he know 3 to 5 years from now that he's not doing any deals or they're not currently having any deals done? Does he know that this is not going to get bigger? Is he nervous about that outlay of money that potentially the cap is not going to grow like it did $30 million this year? Does he know something that it's like Mark Cuban selling the team and the TV deal with the NBA?
I don't know if the NFL is going to have the same limitations that the NBA and Major League Baseball are, because they play mostly on network TV on Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, I see it.
I wonder if he knows something is like, it's not going to go up like I think it is. And I'm worried about currently, you know, I've got three players I'm going to have to spend well over, you know, $150 million on. Right?
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that would be a pretty big surprise, just knowing how big these TV deals get with the NFL. I mean, they're playing in a different stratosphere than the rest of these leagues and trying to get.
Jerry made the other owners billionaires. Jerry Jones, by what he's done.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you get the truth serum.
He grew the pie so much.
I'm going to ask him when we go to his party. I'm going to ask him if he. Do you ever regret doing the salary cap or bringing on the salary cap? Because he could have, that team could have thrived with the money that they generate right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. He'd be throwing money around, you would think.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah.
Diana Russini of The Athletic says teams trying to move up for a quarterback calling Washington are being told they are not moving. Washington's general manager Adam Peters has publicly stated the Commanders feel great about staying at number 2 and picking their quarterback. All right. So you won't be getting any
Call
type of
Elliot
movement
Wolf.
There.
Call Elliot
but
Wolf
yes.
at 3. Yeah.
Okay, so this is Peter Schrager with Pat McAfee saying he says he thinks that Drake may, and Peter Schrager over the years has been pretty dang dialed on a lot of these.
On Arizona, you know, he's especially good. He has been. I think he's
boys with Coach Bro, the Kingsbury years.
5 to 6 years, he had completely nailed Arizona's pick every single time.
And he's in general one of the better predictors of where these guys are going to end up going.
Got good sources.
He absolutely does. He says he thinks Drake May goes at number 3, and he's hearing that the Vikings and Giants are the ones trying to get up to get him. So talking about dancing at 3 with your guy Elliot Wolf and the Patriots.
Yeah, Elliot will sell you a pick.
The Vikings have the connection point with Josh McCown, the quarterback coach, coaching Drake May in high school. So that's an obvious connection point. The Giants seem to be very, very interested in him. They're like, hey, we tried the Duke quarterback. That didn't work out for us. Maybe the Tar Heel quarterback can get it
done
for us.
Maybe the one that's 9 miles away.
Yeah.
That's about how close those schools
are. He says, by the way, if the Patriots are not sold on May, you know, you could make a deal with the Vikings or the Giants so that they get to come up to 3 and take May, and then you trade back as the Patriots, and you could still maybe end up with J.J. McCarthy. That's playing a pretty dangerous game, but just throwing that out there as maybe a Patriots opportunity.
Okay, this is something, if you're a Cowboy fan, you need to worry about a little bit, because if the Patriots make the trade with the Vikings, that puts the Patriots ahead of you picking in the first round. So now you have to worry about a totally different set of needs for another team. You might have an idea what the Vikings are going to do with their pick, but if they trade with New England and New England gets both those picks, then all of a sudden now you've got
does the Patriots need an offensive lineman or whatever?
Yeah, they're let me put it this way. The Patriots are very interested in who you're looking at Dallas.
Mm.
Because if they make that trade, they go right ahead of you is what they're thinking.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's an interesting caveat right there. It looks like if the first opportunity for trading to really go down seems to be that third pick there with the Patriots. If they don't, maybe at 4 with the Cardinals. But teams are going to want to get quarterbacks, and it looks like 4 are going to go in that top 10. So that's and potentially even 5 if Adam Schefter's right about his report about the Falcons at 8 being interested in Penix. So that would be five quarterbacks in the top 10. That's just ridiculous. And we know the number one overall pick is going to be Caleb Williams. And Pablo Torre had on his podcast a former NFL scout talking about Caleb Williams and some of the you know, the things surrounding him, crying and things like that with his mom. But the quote that he has is, he scares the bleep out of a lot of NFL teams because the book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One general manager told me it's like if Prince played quarterback. So that is the comparison from an NFL scout and really Prince an NFL short, general manager.
A little short, but
and we all know Prince is a hooper. He not is, really.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, a true athlete,
yeah,
right?
He's a hooper. Yeah. Hooper.
Blouses.
Yeah. Yeah, the footwork was insane.
When you're in these spots, though, to pick a quarterback, if you're trading back out of a quarterback, it better be because you know another one is still going to be there that you happen to like better. You're just getting better value, picking up additional picks. And, you know, whether it's Caleb Williams or May or anybody else, I would also ask my guys, don't fall in love with your own assessments, okay? Like league-wide, these guys are highly rated, and league-wide, every team swings and misses. Yeah. So if the consensus is this guy's a top five quarterback, don't be like, yes, but I don't like that he paints his nails. Yeah. Get out of here, okay? Yeah. There's lots of different personalities. We only get so many chances in the top five to take a quarterback. If there's one here and we can't trade back and get one that we happen to like better, we're taking the guy. I don't care how many of you hate him, okay? Teams repeatedly swing and miss. If we're here and we don't get a quarterback, but we get some other good players and we're never inside the top 10 again, we ain't ever finding a quarterback. This is our best shot. We're taking whoever's there. That'd be my approach, Chief.
I'm with you. If you're picking in the top five and you don't have your quarterback situation handled, then just get one of these guys. Unless you are just completely unsold on all of them and you can get a ton in the way of draft capital. But
and
trading,
you're planning to tank next year because next year's draft is loaded with QBs. I'm flexible.
Yes. Yeah, there's specific scenarios. But for the most part, if you don't have a quarterback and you're picking in the top five or whatever, top 10, then you need to go get your guy because that's the greatest thing that can happen to you if you nail on one of these quarterbacks. Now, Shail Kapadia of The Ringer has the six traps every NFL general manager must avoid on drafting because drafting is hard. But he says smart NFL general managers can help their team's chances if they follow these handy rules. So, Broadus, let me know what you think about this. You have the first rule is the, quote, we know ball trap, which is basically overrating your ability to evaluate talent.
Yes, true.
That's something you see plenty, right? Yes. These guys, they have some hubris about, oh, no, but I can
we're
see
we're smarter
the talent
than everybody else, yeah.
Right. And that can get you into some trouble here. And he's like, we have countless examples that show us how hard it is to evaluate these prospects.
It is.
You know, whether it's Tom Brady being picked 199th overall or even Pat Mahomes having nine players selected ahead of him.
Right.
There's just no way to really know. But he says, you know, they take in all the information, make decisions that they feel good about, and try to assess their processes every year. The bad organizations operate with the false confidence that they have an imaginary edge in identifying talent.
True.
Number two, trap to avoid on draft night. The, quote, this guy's different trap, ignoring historical evidence to justify a selection, for instance. And he's actually going into the tight end conversation because Brock Bowers is a guy who out of Georgia is supposed to be the best thing since sliced bread at the tight end position and very likely goes what brought us top 10.
Yeah.
Top 10
very,
pick.
Very likely. No lower than 15.
And he's not just poo-pooing the idea of taking Brock Bowers, but he's just the idea is like, man, these first round tight ends don't really do much damage. I mean, we've seen history will tell you, I mean, nine tight ends have been selected in the first round of the past 10 drafts, and those players have combined for zero all-pro nods and one 1,000-yard season. So the team that is going to be like, yeah, but Brock Bowers is different, and maybe he absolutely is, but he's just saying that's one of those things you got to be a little bit careful about. Yeah. History tells you drafting the first-round tight end is not going to bode well for you, but somebody's going to take that chance in the top 10. And what do you say about Brock Bowers? He's fifth or sixth on your board?
He is seventh, I believe.
Seventh on your board?
Yeah.
So you believe in him and you would take him in the top 10, despite the fact that the tight ends in the first round haven't necessarily hit over the last, it's been two decades or so.
Been a while.
It's crazy because it seems like something that should be measurable. Your hands are great. You run good routes and you are actually a good blocker. That should add up, but there's an intangible inside the great tight ends.
Actually, six.
That can't be measured.
Six.
Sixth on your board.
Yeah. Kyle Pitts should be an all-pro soon, though, right?
He should, and to me, that that's the type of... You wonder when sometimes these players go to a scheme, is it the right scheme for him? We'll see if things change for him in Atlanta. That's a team that they have all these skill players, and you're kind of like going, why are they not more productive on offense?
Yeah.
It might be with what your coach was dealing with too. They moved on from that guy. So maybe a new coach will make a difference. It's weird. Atlanta finally had a top 10 defense, couldn't do anything because their offense was not any good.
Yeah. Yeah, the entire league has just had serious trouble trying to figure out
who
the best tight end is in any given draft class. We'll see if Brock Bowers can fix that. Now, the plug-and-play trap, one to avoid overrating the possibility that a prospect will make an immediate impact.
Well, see, that's a trap that the Cowboys play with all the time.
Last year?
Well, it comes in with their offensive linemen. They're really big on...
I thought that was a Mozzie Smith thing.
No, I think
this guy's plug and play, sure fire.
No, they plug and play offensive linemen. That's the one thing I think they count on. I don't think they counted on Mozzie Smith being that. I think Hankins was their guy, and if Mozzie Smith developed where he was taking reps from Hankins, then that was okay. But they believe that they could draft offensive linemen in the first round and put them in, and they'll start. They do believe that.
Trap to avoid number four, the C.J. Stroud Puka Nacua trap. Looking at rookies from the previous year's class and thinking you'll get this year's version of those players. You're just kind of selling yourself on the expectation that they can meet. Like, C.J. Stroud was historically dominant at the quarterback position last year. Say what you want about Caleb Williams and all the hype and just how impressive he is. If he comes anywhere close to having the season that C.J. Stroud had, you will be extremely happy if you're the Bears. If you have the expectation that Caleb Williams is going to be just as impressive as a rookie as C.J. Stroud was, you're probably going to be fooling yourself just because of how ridiculously impressive C.J. Stroud was last year. And same goes for Puka Nacua. It's not every day you're drafting one of these guys where Nacua got drafted and he's setting rookie records at the position.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys in this draft, though, that Ladd McConkey from, I talked about him yesterday, from Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and then Ricky Pearsall from Florida. You're talking about two very similar guys to how Puka Nacua plays. You can play on the outside, you can play in the slot, you can kind of move them all over the place. Sure-handed, run after catch. If you had to fall into that trap, I got a couple of guys there that are very similar to what you saw with that Rams guy.
I mean, and that's delicious content for the media, right? Like, you give us a player comp, you're like, hey, it could be this year's Puka Nacua, and you're like, okay, cool. But for teams, you want a fundamental understanding of the probabilities, right? So that's what that comes down to. If I'm a GM, I'm like, guys, we need probabilities for play calling. We need probabilities for deciding what our playbook looks like, play design. And we absolutely need probabilities on draft night so none of these narratives or fantasies can pollute our thinking.
Yeah, you set expectations just far too high for some of these guys. Then you're super disappointed.
Wyatt Langford.
Trap at five here to avoid on draft night, operating under the assumption that your coaching staff will be able to get more out of a prospect than his college coaches would.
Rod Marinelli.
it's crazy. These coaches, they tell you like, oh, no, we could coach it out of him. We could do this. And then, the example I always use is Kerry Collins, who used to play quarterback for Carolina, the Giants. I mean, he's in the league for forever. And Kerry Collins has a hitch in the way he throws. His elbow, there was a hitch. And I heard coaches, we could coach that out of him. He never, 13, 14 years, however long Collins played, always had the hitch. Nobody could coach the hitch out of him. So sometimes coaches think they can do something with a guy. And then in actuality, they're like, we need to get another guy because we can't coach it out of him. That's a problem.
The sixth and final trap to avoid here is picking players based on who has the highest grade and ignoring the importance of positional value. So that's pretty obvious.
Ooh,
there.
I like that. Yeah.
The running back is the highest graded player on your board, but there's the pass rusher or the corner or the left tackle that is, pretty close. Go with that.
Yeah. And, I think at all times you have to be ready to take a great player and regardless of position, unless it's running back, kicker, or punter. I'll take a linebacker. I'll take a DT. If they're better, I don't care about positional value there, especially with modern linebackers and how much, you know, you're asking them to help in the passing game and how much that big defensive tackle can help you stop the run while also playing coverage. I think those are key pieces. But positional value is massive. You know, you don't need to look any further than what would a good player at this position be available as a free agent right now? Why would you be trying to draft a guy who's going to make 10 mil if there's like $30 million options out there? Three times the value. And on that rookie contract, those are the kinds of things that add up to a championship roster. Boom. You save $20 million bucks on an all-pro player if you hit. Okay, we got to run, Nation. When we come back, it's time to hit the expressway. We'll take a commercial free to the top. LA Live coming up at 5:40 here. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time to hit the expressway. We'll take a commercial free to the top. LA Live's coming up in 13 minutes. Have some good Cowboys draft content. Some highlights of Jerry and Steven at the podium today talking draft, some very good questions, and some good answers as well from the guys. So we'll give you highlights of that. This segment of the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the on-time experts. Okay, I'm going to mock it up here for you, an NFL draft big board report. We first go to Bucky Brooks, NFL.com. He's got Graham Barton, five-position flexibility, real piano player. Cowboys could reshuffle the line to put the best five on the field with Barton boasting the ability to be a plug-and-play starter at multiple spots, Brian. Do you agree with that? Multiple spots, starter year one?
Yeah, there's I believe the Cowboys would play him at center, but there was some talk is if you drafted Graham Barton in the first and say you took another center, say in the third or fourth round, that maybe you would consider putting Barton at guard and then kicking – Tyler Smith out to tackle. So
man,
that's the kind of thoughts. But if Bucky picked him for the Cowboys, Graham Barton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they would hand that card in.
Yeah, man. If you had a strong rookie who could help you in the running game at center, if you could get that in the third or fourth round, yeah. Barton at guard and then Tyler Smith at left tackle, you could really impose some strength and athleticism on the opposing defense and maybe run the football.
Yeah.
I do wonder how the Cowboys are looking at this. Obviously, salary cap hell is here for this year and next year.
Yeah.
You're not going to contend. You're not going to compete for the Super Bowl. Sorry if that message is jarring to you, but that's the reality. And if I'm the Joneses, I have a real serious conversation. Do we want to go build a running game now? Dak's going to be a free agent, and he has not given us a single break. Why don't we look at defensive tackle, linebacker, corner, safety right now? Maybe we want another edge.
Yeah.
We'll go into next year without a running game. Rico Dowdle toting the rock and say, well, Mr. Todd France, looks like your client didn't have an MVP type year now, does it? Now, if Dak does go off in that situation, then you're like, wow, you know, this guy apparently does deserve the contract. But I think it has gotten so tense from Todd France and the agency, and they have played ball with us not at all, that yeah. I would be tempted by that, Brian. We're basically going to negotiate through the draft. And congratulations, you don't have a running game next year. Would you do that? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, it's really interesting because then you could, like I said, I thought there was a time where Byron Murphy would be there, like if you're looking at defensive players, you know, from Texas, but he's a three technique and he's probably going to go a lot earlier than where you're at 24. Nate Wiggins, the corner from Clemson, could very well be in the mix. We'll see. There's a lot of teams that need corners. I'm trying to just look, you know, depending on Latu from UCLA, he's an edge, but there are some serious medical concerns with him. Peyton Wilson, I've talked about him a bunch, the linebacker from North Carolina State, medical concerns there, but they brought him in for a visit. Chop Robinson, the edge from Penn State, a lot of people really, really like his ability, the first step quickness, ability to attack the edge. And then maybe Cooper DeJean from Iowa, who people could say, well, you could play him at corner, you could play him at safety. Those would all be guys that I think that if you were looking at first round at 24 type players, those would be the names you'd probably be going through right now.
Well, I mean, the consensus is going to be offensive line here as we make our way through these mocks. I just wonder if there's a surprise possible. The Cowboys have surprised us several times over the years. Leighton Vander Esch, you know, Taco Charlton, Tyler Smith just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, oftentimes they're thinking something totally different from what's being reported. And I mean, Mo Claiborne in the 2012 draft was a shocker. Pete Prisco with his, he did what teams should do. He went Tyler Guyton, OU. Yeah. The Cowboys could leave Tyler Smith at left guard, which I think is the right move. Guyton played right tackle in college, but he has the tools to be a left tackle as well.
Yeah, Guyton is, and somebody asked me why I had Guyton over Latham from Alabama just a minute ago on Twitter, and it was the position, the ability to play right tackle, left tackle. I think Latham is just a right tackle only, and then also, but like I said, I had a buddy who scouts in the Southeast who told me, I don't think he could be a left tackle, Latham, but I think he'd be an all-pro guard. Hmm. So that's where that's at with Latham. I had a general manager tell me this morning, and I think when I did open with Krusty's Corner today, I had a general manager tell me, he goes, Latham ain't going to be there when you get to 24. Hmm. So he knows something that's going on as well.
There's a lot of Tyler Guyton in here. ESPN has one where they call it a draft forecaster. They looked at the highest probabilities of what happens. They went Guyton. Chris Sims' mock draft has Guyton.
Guyton would be fine. It's just that I feel like that they're looking at probably those centers before, you know. I think that on their board they would probably have Barton over Guyton on their board is what I would say.
They want to keep Tyler Smith at guard or tackle?
I think they
want to keep him at guard.
They want to keep him at guard.
He wants to be there, and they want him to be there. That's why I was thinking, okay, maybe they really want to make sure they get the tackle. And even Dane Brugler in his 7-round mock, I feel like all offseason he's had Tyler Guyton, the Oklahoma Sooner offensive tackle, pigeonholed to the Cowboys at 24.
Did he have – I mean, do you have the mock draft in front of
you? Yeah, I have it in front of me. They pass on Powers Johnson.
See, and Dane is probably looking at the medical issues. And I talking to a guy this morning about it is there, we thought there was some other significant things that needed to be checked out, and they checked out and it wasn't a problem. So there might be a little bit more of a cleaner player there than what we've been talking about through the process.
Okay, some highlights of Jerry and Steven at the podium today as I was reviewing Cowboy Twitter X just a few minutes ago. Clarence Hill with the quote, "We want Dak Prescott." That was from Jerry Jones. "That's that. The improvement demonstrated last season that there's more. We want Dak. We think there is room for growth. Dak, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. I wouldn't even blink on that." Man, that's as strong as a sell that we've ever seen, especially at a time when they're in a serious negotiation. I think he's working some other angle here, Brian. And I think it's that they want to make it clear that it's not the Cowboys holding this thing up at all. They want to make it clear that the agency is the bad guy.
Yeah, this is very unusual for the Joneses, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Steven usually does not like to comment about how negotiations are going. And they probably feel like, and rightfully so, in many ways, they've been punching bags right now.
Yes.
And they're thinking like, okay, you want to continue to punch us in the face. Let me tell you why you shouldn't be punching us in the face right now.
Yeah.
You know, it takes two of us. I thought the first time that they did the contract with Dak several years ago, the agent caused you problems there.
Absolutely.
Todd France was going from one agency to another. He did not, if you look at all the guys that he had, none of those guys signed long-term contracts. They all got franchise tagged. He wasn't willing to put new money with an old agency in contracts. He was waiting. He was playing the game. You know, he was playing the game to once he was able to be free and clear into his new agency, then that money would transfer
But 5 years later, he hasn't started being fair. See, like, that was the tip of how he wanted to run his own agency.
Say, I know this. Todd France thinks he's going to get paid whether it's from Dallas or it's from somebody else in the league.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to him.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, whatever happens with Dak, Todd France is going to negotiate a deal, whether it's with Dallas or somebody else. And that's he's not sweating this.
Yeah.
You know? And it the kind of the way, but Stephen Jones clearly pointed the finger and said, "Hey, you know, let's talk about how we do these deals sometimes."
Yeah.
And that's something that the Cowboys don't do.
This is why I do think, though, that the Cowboys ultimately will end up doing this deal and prefer money over contending. They don't lose negotiations often, but they're going to lose another one because of what Dak represents, the idea of a franchise quarterback and how that sells. That's why I think they'll choose Dak, even though they are getting punched by the agent.
Right.
Even though the player shows no ability to elevate your team, even when you're loaded, you know, to get to the promised land. I don't know, you know, if something has changed, but, you know, it's now a serious pattern of behavior for over a decade that the Cowboys posture and then ultimately cave to what the player wants. And you're now at a point where agents and the players don't respect your negotiation at all. They think, we'll just do this and eventually we'll wait and then they'll give us whatever we want. If you actually made the players worry that you can't be a Cowboy anymore, I think the star players would capitulate to you. But see, the Cowboys don't want to give up those TV stars. They know what the TV stars mean for ratings. And when you've built one like Dak, that's like a 10-year investment and you're co-partners in this branding venture of Dak and the Cowboys on TV Sunday nights. Here comes 30 million eyeballs. You take that quarterback away, and now your ability to be relevant is in danger. And with what you guys did to them 25 years ago, taking all those damn baseball players, it's traumatized him.
No. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they don't trust their own evaluation of quarterbacks. They don't want to get back into those waters, and they love contending for the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so with Dak, I mean, they can continue to do that for the next half decade plus.
Jerry also said there's no question we've been operating on a credit card.
Yep.
And that's important to note. They did kind of go all in the last couple of years. I think they should have done it more and blown up the salary cap even more. But he wanted to point that out, that, hey, the reason we got to be lean now is because we did draft incredibly well. We added Gilmore and Cooks and tried to kind of go for it. But they run their organization in a way that creates lower highs and higher lows. And it's perfect for them because, again, as Chief just said, I think the primary goal is making the playoffs and being relevant. He said, we're proud of this roster. We feel very, very good about the promise of the roster this season. We feel great about what we've been in free agency, and we're all in. That's what he said back at the Senior Bowl today, saying, or no, he said that today. Yeah. I'm sorry. He actually said that today, contradicting himself in a very significant way. He was asked about why they haven't done deals with Dak and CeeDee yet. We'd like to see more leaves fall. We'd like to see more action. It's called option quarterback. I've spent my life playing option quarterback. I want to see some more cards played. Now, that's what makes me think we're going to draft defensive players and send Dak out there without a running game. Maybe end up 7-10 on the year with a great draft pick and in a much better bargaining position. That might save you millions of dollars.
Yeah, I wonder how many millions it saves you. Like, what does it get to the point where, okay, we've saved enough to where we can actually put things back into our roster that are going to tangibly help us move forward here? Like, $5 million isn't cutting it.
Yeah.
Even $10 million, what are you talking about? You're talking about, like, one quality starter, okay, but what are you really talking about here? You need a significant difference, a difference that is, even if you get Dak to the negotiating table next off season. And the problem is even that, though, is Dak still is able to enter the open market. And there will be teams that are willing to, even off of a poor season, they're so desperate at the position, they will probably still be willing to give him more than you are.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And how much would you save? Is it $5 million? That's not putting you over the top.
That's not putting you over the top. No. The thing that's putting you over the top is getting the quarterback on the rookie contract. That's putting you over the top, but they don't want to do that.
I love the idea of trying to win with a rookie quarterback until that rookie quarterback proves he's as good as at least C.J. Stroud and Joe Burrow, and ideally Patrick Mahomes. You know, now we're like, okay, this we can lock into. Let's see where this goes. It's time for L.A. Live. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius Alexander.
Man, I was just watching the news. They're really about to try to get rid of TikTok, bro.
Really?
They're really about to get rid of TikTok, y'all.
They spying on us?
Yeah, that's what they said. If you guys would have seen the safety briefings and security briefings, and you too would try to get rid of TikTok, is what one politician just said.
Hmm. I see those theories that they're like trying to poison our society through the social media. And that's interesting, like psyops.
Yeah, didn't Russia just do that not too long ago? They always do that. They've always been doing
standard
that.
Standard operating.
Yeah, that's the standard operating procedure right there. All right, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday right after the great Rick James. Whoa!
All right, you squares. It's time to smoke.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. My plug, lazy.
It'll make you dance with some of everything.
I hate a lazy plug, bro.
Are you a hustler or not, bro?
Favorite like moment of like the last year was in sports, that Detroit Piston, Indiana Pacer, bench clearing brawl. Wasn't that great? That was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I was so confused when I watched ESPN that day. They were like, that was absolutely disgraceful. Basketball fans, they just must be. I'm sitting there looking like, I'm a basketball fan. I loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed watching out-of-shape civilians get the shit kicked out of them by professional athletes. Yeah. It was fascinating. Yeah. And I think as sports fans, we kind of had it coming, right? You get in the game, you're all drunk. You're like, you suck, buddy. You're a piece of shit. And they're always calling them up. Come on up here. No, come on up here. Well, they came up there. They did, and they kicked the shit out of everybody. It was great.
Yeah.
It was like a cartoon. You're like beating up whole rows of people at once, like. I loved every second.
Yes, my guy, Bill Burr. Bill Burr. I hope he is part of the Tom Brady roast.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a Boston guy.
He is a Boston guy.
I hope I see that. And it's live, too.
Oh.
Well, you got to have some real comedian chops to do a live roast. There's no editing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some of your jokes will fall flat on a live roast. It's going to happen.
Yep. Yeah, and if Jamie Foxx is a part of the crew, he will let you know about it,
He
too.
Will let you know. I'm not Jamie Foxx. I'm your conscience.
That was as humiliating a 5 minutes as I've ever seen.
Yeah, brother never came back from that, man. All right, it's LA Live for April 23rd, 2024. It's a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live, which is sponsored by Kissable Dental. And there's no bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey begins today. Mwah, chef's kiss. And G-Bag the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, which you guys have been doing, I have to check my Instagram more. I'm sorry, but I'm going to get to it. At Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all at G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Yeah, brothers, I haven't checked it since vacation.
I think you hadn't.
I don't know what's going on in that damn thing.
I was seeing like dogs walking to Petco and stuff like that. I ain't seen any of that anymore.
Those dogs. Every time she touches me, it's hair on me. This one right here, our winner, is some kids are ordering a quarter pounder with cheese at a Mickey D's.
I take a quarter pounder.
Pounder?
A quarter pounder.
Oh, okay.
And a
quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh, yeah. Quarter pounder with cheese.
Oh, snappy. Snappy snap. Quarter pound her. Pound her.
That's right.
That's right.
Pound her.
Yep.
It ain't that small around here now.
And a small shamrock shake.
That laugh.
Oh, we're out of shake.
Okay.
Oh, man, we're always out of the shake.
And a small coke, and that'll be
it. Oh, I see how y'all get down.
I see how y'all get down, honey.
Yeah. We're out of Shamrock, but we have some other rocks if you're interested. Yeah.
What'd you say about rocks? I'm still trying to figure out which city or state that is or whatever. Mm-hmm. Fantech said it's probably Quinlan.
Maybe Arkansas?
That's Kenny's sister.
Cleburne.
Oh, man. Let's get the vibe right here on a Toxic Tuesday. We got for you boys. Enjoy your ride home. Be careful out there, folks. Yeah. Please, please. We got a nationwide alert on a Toxic Tuesday for ground beef over E. coli concerns.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, bro. I had to let everybody know. Even though in my house, when it calls for ground beef, it's usually ground turkey. But I eat ground beef. I do.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. I've been inspired by Chief and his daily ground beef feasts.
Now, bro, that's all he eats.
Yeah.
Just some ground beef in a bowl.
Maybe a bag of chips.
I'm looking to find that $5.50 a pound ground beef to dominate on,
spot,
on the daily.
Here's spot. Here's some food for your spot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's either that or a whole chicken.
Yeah.
This man is wild.
I eat like a Rottweiler.
I see. The FSIS Food Safety and Inspection Service said on its website that raw ground beef items produced on March 28th with a use or freeze by date of April 22nd, you shouldn't touch it. March 28th through April 22nd, do not touch it. You might have it in the freezer set up for the fam or whatnot. You know, we buy in bulk.
That's all beef?
Bro, that's the beef. Ground beef, the good fun beef.
Nice. Made you guys dirty rice yesterday.
You sure did.
I came out unscathed, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all
good.
Right so far.
All right. Oh, thank God.
I might have already built up an immunity.
I think you have. You got old trucker's gut.
Yeah. If you guys don't dispose of that ground beef, just bring it to my house, yeah. Okay?
Let me sniff it. No, it's all right. It's good edible, good. Boy. Yeah. Waste some food.
I mean, it's only a week old. You're fine.
It's all right. It's rolling around a little bit. It's that green right there and that brown mix it together. You're right.
Yeah, just cook it well done. Yeah. You'll be fine.
A recall was not requested because the products are no longer available for purchase. So they're already out there.
Okay, good.
This meat is on the market. So y'all be careful when you get ready to make your burgers or whatever you want to make. Your hamburger helper. Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. Hamburger helper.
Oh, my God.
I saw a hamburger helper video the other day from scratch. The guy goes, yeah, he's
Kraft
like,
hamburger helper?
He goes, I'm going to make you a hamburger helper from scratch. So he did the meat, the cheese, and all that, but it's none out of the box.
Sounds divine.
It's everything out, just scratch made. Noodles, everything.
It's like a Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal had a chef that used to make him stuff like that.
Man.
Can I get some hamburger helper?
Yeah.
Make it the healthy way.
That's a good meal.
Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. People hate on it, but
yeah,
you know.
You shouldn't.
No, nah, you shouldn't, man. It's been here for me.
Yeah.
It's had my back in so many situations,
yeah,
man.
You're damn right. Yeah.
I just don't want the beef stroganoff, you know? That's the only
one
like I have an issue with.
The noodles? Is it the noodles or the
little onion thingies?
The sauce.
Probably the sauce and the onion thingies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh. Broadus, what is that thing where it's like a beef patty? It's kind of like stroganoff. It's not hamburger helper. It's just a beef patty.
Oh, Salisbury steak?
Salisbury steak! Do you like those?
Oh, geez, yes.
No, you like Salisbury steak, Dawson? You looking kind of confused.
Brown gravy?
Oh, my God.
I know what a Salisbury steak is. It's the worst steak.
Oh, my God.
It is the worst steak, especially the TV dinner ones.
It's literally ground. They take ground beef and form it into a steak.
But they're chewy. They bind it with something that makes it hard to saw, and there's like... I don't know.
Brown gravy and mushrooms.
The views expressed by Gavin Dawson are for Gavin Dawson and Gavin Dawson only. They do not represent Brian Broaddus, 105.3 The Fan, Lucius Alexander, Eric Schiaffalo, or Odyssey Broadcasting.
I've lost it this week. I don't know what's happened.
You in your bag, bro. LA Live, 105.3 The Fan, Toxic Tuesday. Speaking of beef, we've got more beef on deck.
Pause.
Yeah, Houston rap legend Bun B files a lawsuit against Trill Burgers co-founders for misusing funds.
Oh, his burger joint.
I can't believe this when I've seen this on the timeline.
Can't do that.
Hey, it's tough. You're a world-famous musician. You're out doing musician stuff. You trust the guys with the restaurant.
You trust them.
I told you my aunt had her number one trusted employee for 2 decades. She found out was getting her for like $1,000 a month.
Oh,
the entire time. The entire time, bro.
Oh,
If you are not at the restaurant you own, you're getting got by your employees.
That is awful.
Yep.
I hate to see that, too. That's why I got trust issues, man. The UGK artist claims his ex-partners misused $45,000 of profit from the Houston Rodeo event. Man, that was a big old event, too.
Houston Rodeo is awesome.
That was a big event.
Awesome.
Bun had everybody out there.
Yeah.
You have like a remote cashier situation. It's not all online or whatever. It's easy to misappropriate a few bucks here or there.
Yeah,
they said these guys took that money from the Houston Rodeo to invest in their own restaurant, Sticky Chicken. Now, I've seen Sticky Chicken. Sticky Chicken, those chicken strips won like best chicken strips in the country last year at some chicken strip convention.
Are these?
I didn't know they had those.
Man, sign me up for that
It's in California.
Is this like Korean? Like when you talk about sticky, I'm thinking of, you know, like,
I don't know.
Like sticky ribs and stuff like that.
I'm
familiar with Thai stick.
I don't know. Just says Sticky Chicken. I just heard them boast and brag about how
good their
chicken is.
I wonder if they're
using
like that Korean barbecue flavor on chicken this way.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Might be kind of like Orange Magic where you hit it with some pancake maple syrup.
Oh,
no, don't be giving off some sauce like that.
No, man. We got a food
truck. Make them dig for it if they want to.
Food truck. We got to get. Yeah.
The Google images of Sticky Chicken tenders are extremely promising. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Looking phenomenal.
Hey, but they're thieves.
Yeah, but they suck.
Can't run up in the manger, the home of Bun B.
Yeah, I want a cut of Sticky Chicken if I'm using my money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're big chicken spending cheese.
His former partners now are claiming that they are responsible for the concept of Trill Burgers. And Bun B was just the face for our business, and he stole their idea. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
It's going to be a battle in court.
Are the burgers good, Lucius? Have you ever had one? Trill Burger?
No, I've never had a Trill Burger.
James Harden appreciates them.
A lot of people love them. I don't know if it's cap or not because it's Bun B.
Mm.
People love them, though. And he looks like he's handing them cold burgers and they're eating it on Instagram and putting their thumbs up like, yeah, this is great. I'm like, man, I don't know.
Doesn't look very
the pictures, I mean, they're selling them really nicely. I mean, the advertisement on the website, when you go look at the different burger options, really looking good. The meat is flowing out of the bun a little bit. The cheese is as well.
Okay.
I mean, It passes the eye test, I'll tell you that.
Caramelized onions.
Yes, please.
And stuff.
Yes, yeah, they're smashing those things on
there. All right, here we go.
Murder! All right, let's see what else we got here for you boys. Toxic Tuesday.
Ugh.
LA Live 105.3 The Fan. We have boxing promoter Eddie Hearn and Ryan Garcia's pops. They got into it backstage at the 420 fight. Mm. Eddie Hearn and Henry Garcia. Yeah. It was too explosive.
Yeah.
But it calmed down real fast. Man, they pieced it up so quick.
Hug.
Yeah. Eddie Hearn, he's a promoter, and he was promoting the event. Hearn was doing an interview giving Ryan Garcia his respects. He was. When Henry walked past, Henry turned around and wanted to shake Garcia's hand. Well, hold on. Did I say that right? No, Hearn wanted to turn around and shake Garcia's hand as he seen him walking, and it just fell apart from there.
You and your prime.
Hold on, wait a minute. Where'd my thing go? Hold on, fam. We're gonna wait a second. Listen to my man Isaac for a second. Oh! Here we go. Eddie Hearn and Garcia's daddy.
Big respect to Ryan Garcia. He was amazing. I thought, well done. Well done. Oh, really?
Bro, they F-U'd about six times in a row right there.
Yep.
We ain't finished, though.
That's what you get.
Really?
Now what are you going to say? Luke Campbell? Luke Campbell? And Devin Haney? You. Now who you got? Who do you got?
Jerron Ennis.
Jerron Ennis.
Who?
Jerron Ennis. How about Pitbull?
You know he's good.
Jerron Ennis. How about Pitbull? Yeah.
It's a good performance.
Oh, sorry.
I know you're
sorry.
Sorry, listen, that's your fault. When you win,
I know,
I'll give you all the respect in the world.
Okay, give Ryan the respect.
I just told him.
You did?
Absolutely.
Thanks.
That's how we work.
Sorry.
Don't worry. I respect you.
Thank
I accept your apology.
Thank you.
No problem.
I accept your apology there, sir.
that was quick,
amazing,
man.
Yeah.
That was very quick.
It was intense to...
Piece it up fast.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I like that, you know?
Governments could learn something from that.
Yeah, how about that?
I was hoping they were going to take their shirts off and tie their feet to each other and gentlemen's fight that thing out.
Yeah. Henry Garcia, he don't want that smoke with boots.
He heard that name Boots. He was like, well, how about Pitbull?
Yeah.
We don't want to fight Boots.
Yeah.
You don't want none of that smoke. So, yeah, that was the quickest piece it up I've ever heard in my entire life.
Very quick.
Speaking of piecing it up and everything, I know this is random, but Chris Brown may have the best diss track going on right now. Just saying. There's a lot of civil wars popping off in hip-hop. Chris Brown may have the greatest one.
I love it. I don't doubt it, man.
I was not a big fan. That.
Watch some R&B cats.
Dude.
Some R&B cats. Is he rapping? Serious. Yeah, he's rapping. Yeah, no R&B cats are serious, though.
And he lets you know that, like, I'm a singer.
Yeah, but, he let you know.
But I'm hitting you right
you
now.
You got bodied by the one.
Yeah.
Do we have enough time to do another one right here?
Sure. Yeah. Knock yourself out.
Yeah. All right, reaching and preaching. Tyreek Hill. Am I saying his name right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I don't know why I want to say Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill sat down with Gillian Wallow, and he got loose at the lips. Said that he basically will give Deion prime time the business on the field. Can you handle prime in his prime? And this man said, yeah, I'll put up a whole lot of numbers on this dude, even 2 touchdowns. Is this cappuccino or real facts?
You in your prime and prime time in his prime. Is you putting 100 yards on Deion?
I'm putting 175 on Deion.
Let me see if I can get him on the phone.
Hey, Prime was a GOAT, though. But you got to understand, though, they played a lot of man-to-man back in the day.
Yeah,
you
feel
yeah, they me? Did.
And, like, I feel like generations has changed and receivers has changed. And we got so much stuff. And our generation know so many, like, crazy movements. And we know all this crazy stuff.
You know
stuff
Prime that. Used to shut a whole half of a field down.
Yeah, a whole field to. Down.
But he was going against, like, who?
Jerry Rice.
6'2".
Oh, jeez.
5'9".
197. I'm quicker, more agile. I can move a whole lot. Quick twitch guy. I can catch screens. So it's a whole lot that go into a game. So I'm not saying I'm going to put the whole 197 up by going deep or running an actual route.
Right.
I'm catching screens. I'm doing whatever. You know what I'm saying? The game need me to do. To get yardage on Deion.
Carry him.
He said 175.
On prime.
Two tubs.
Two tubs on prime.
Easy.
175, two tubs. You hear this?
Get what? While I'm scoring, I'm doing it. I'm doing his in the end zone.
On prime?
I'm doing his in the end zone with it.
Oh, my gosh.
Brian?
I'll tell you what, man. Vertical routes, prime could run with him. The crossing routes is where he would probably... I mean, Sanders is explosive, but I don't know. I mean, the way that Hill is able to separate on
a lot of rack
underneath stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
that
so.
Would be because Prime could carry and use the sidelines and pin you against the sideline.
Yeah.
But anything coming inside, he's going to have to chase. And Hill's got a little bit, I think, some separation there.
The screen game stuff, too, was interesting. Yeah. Like, Deion trying to get up in there and get physical with it, be a little bit difficult. And these new-age offenses with all the motion and different things that they set you up with. But I don't know. In my world, Primetime never gave up 175 yards to any receiver in the, like any time he ever played against him.
Oh,
but
that's just Rice my, got that's him. My Rice mystery. Got him a couple of times.
That's the mythology in my mind.
Rice got him.
I mean, two incredible players. I think a lot of it is young guys just not being able to imagine that 30 years ago players were that awesome, too. And they were.
He is right about the players that Prime went against. So.
Some of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to run. Jared Sandler joins us next right here to talk Rangers here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Oh, sorry, Lucius.
No, that's all gravy, baby. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. Go ahead.
There he goes. Lucius Alexander, LA Live, every night, 540, right here on The Fan. The number one rated segment in all of DFW radio, every night, 540. Okay, Sands is next here in the G-Bag Nation. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.